Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. This is Joe and Angel, and it is New Year's Eve.
Yay. Normally, this would be our Mailbag Monday, but since it is New Year's Eve, we're going to do things a little different.
Yes, we are.
This is actually one of my favorite times of year.
Yes.
Because I think it's a fresh start.
It is.
A new beginning. A time to focus on vision and where we're going as a person,
clean
as a
out the
family.
Garage. Clean yes. out the closet.
Yes. So I can tell you so many pivotal things have happened to me at this point in the year. So, you know, I know that we always do the New Year's resolutions, you know, let's
yes.
lose weight,
yes.
yada, 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 the same standbys. What do they say? That gyms, the gym membership increases like threefold
yeah.
January, you know, everybody's, but by March it's all,
yeah.
It's falling off. But anyway, so, I mean, this is a very important time. It's a time of new beginnings. And since this year has been such a time of new beginnings for me individually and for us as a couple,
have mercy.
That is just burning in my heart. So I just want to say just the things that you've probably put on the back burner, maybe they were once a dream or something in your heart that they just kind of you know, you've kind of let die. This is the time to stir that up again.
Yes.
You know, when I was first in the ministry, I worked for a ministry that just exploded, like in a 6-month period of time. We went, I mean, probably 4 times growth
yes.
in a year period. And I was 19 years old. I had no idea, never been in ministry. Had been in church my whole life, but had never been in ministry, and it was very different. But I remember the guy who was the head of the ministry, he, and, you know, I just really, to this day, do not think he was thinking ahead. I think it was on the fly. He says, this is what we're going to do this year. This year, and I'd gone to college with him, so, you know, there's a little familiarity there. And so he goes, he's writing it on a board. He goes, this year what we're going to do, we're going to be featured in People Magazine. We're going to be featured on NBC Nightly News. Our budget is going to triple. We're going to stop going from churches, and we're going to start going to arenas, citywide crusades. And he just goes down this list, and we're all like looking at each other like, who's he going to do this with? But you know what? We did every one of those things in a 12-month period of time.
Yep.
And it taught me a very important lesson that the laws of growth is like the law of gravity.
Yes.
The Bible clearly lays out how to obtain your vision.
Yes.
You just have to apply it. So the first and very important is to write it down.
Yes.
Make it plain.
Yes.
Keep it before you so that you may run. And so that taught me a life lesson that I have over and over and over again witnessed it come to fruition.
Well, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain. Why? It's going to tarry. God will give you an idea, and you think, man, that'd be a good idea. Well, it's not going to happen today.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen this week. Probably not going to happen this year. But God orders steps, not miles. If you don't write it down, you're going to forget it. And it's so sad to talk to people who are their later years. You know, I planned to do that one time. I just never got around to it. I had a thought about doing it, but I never did do it. And so many plans that don't make it because you took no steps. You had a thought, and you didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the vision thing, you know, Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Everybody needs a vision.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, sit down, just take a piece of paper and not dream for about 5 minutes. If money, time, and talent are no object, what would you like to do in life? Just think as wild as you can. What would you like to do? Man, we've seen some amazing things come out of that. There's so many great testimonies, even secular people that have been successful in athletics, in business, their careers, because they just started to plan, you know. I remember one guy, that's a very famous actor, used to work in a in the cafeteria business in Hollywood, and said he'd go out on the Hollywood sign after he got off work late at night, and he'd sit on the Hollywood sign, and he wrote himself a check for $1 million. He said, I made out a check to myself for $1 million. He said, I'd go out on that sign at night after I worked those long 12-hour days. He would sit on that sign. He said, one day somebody's going to write me a check for $1 million to make a movie. Well, he has. He's made several multi-million-dollar movies, but it started with a vision, and there's so many athletes have done that. What'd you do? Well, I had a dream of doing this one day. Did anybody draft you, recruit you? Nope, but I went for it. Mm-hmm. And those stories we love, the people that were walk-ons on an athletic team, nobody recruited them, nobody noticed them, but they had a dream to do it, and they still put their hand to it, and God began to open doors. You don't start with the big thing. God asked Israel to put their foot on the Jordan River. He said, boys, we need to cross the Jordan River. It's a time of flood. Put your foot on it, and I'll part it. And they said, no, man, that water's deep. You part it, we'll put our foot on it. No, you got to say, faith that works is dead. Put your foot on this and I'll part it. So you got to start with a step. Mm-hmm. What can you do? What do you have the time to do? Have you got 2 cents in your pocket? You got a nickel? You got a dollar? What can you do?
Right.
Do what you can do. Quit waiting on the big ship to come in. Swim out and build one, somebody said one time.
Yeah, my son graduated from college and he's a musician. And he was working at a hotel doing events, we're just waiting on people and stuff. Had a really good, was making pretty good money, living on his own. He wasn't asking me for any money or anything. And
every parent loves that.
Yes, this is a very proud moment. And so he came to me one day and said, my manager, his music manager, said, I need to go ahead and quit my job at this hotel and go into music full time. What do you think? I said, well, let's play out the worst case scenario. Let's say what happens if you don't make it as a musician. Worst case scenario. I always play this out in my mind. You have to move back in with mom and get a job waiting at another restaurant or hotel. It's not so bad, son. If this is in your heart, if you want to be a musician, then I think you need to take that step of faith. And my son is not a big risk taker. Now, my daughter, on the other hand, she'd have been leaping out of that, but he isn't. He's more on the conservative side. Well, he did. He quit his job. Not only did his finances increase, and his music has gotten more play, he spends a lot more time in the studio, and he's doing what he loves. But he had to take a step of faith. Yeah, I remember one time I had some friends that got fired from a job. And they called me at like 10 o'clock at night and said, can we come by and see you? And came by and they were just brokenhearted, And I remember I said to him, what are you most worried about? He goes, I'm worried about losing my home. And I said, hey, I'll tell you this. You won't lose your home. If you can't make a payment, I'll make it. At the time, I was financially in a position I could have, and I said, I'll make a payment but you'll never ask me for that, because sometimes you're pushed out of the nest. Sometimes you leap out of the nest,
yes.
But evidently God wants you out of the nest. And so they went on to do what had been in their hearts to do for years, to plant a church in Washington, D.C., and it is today very successful church, and they're doing great. So some things that have been in your heart for years, some things that you've said, oh, that's just an old dream I had maybe when I was young, and you've kind of just gotten the busyness of life. I just want to encourage you today on New Year's Eve, let's sit down, write it down.
Yes.
Take the lid off.
Come on.
Money was not an option, if your current circumstances were not an option, what would you do for God? I heard somebody say one time, do something so big that unless he intervenes, you're going to fail completely.
Yeah, that's it. That's good. Don't do it in your own strength. Mm-mm. You just got to stick your neck out so far you can't hold it up yourself.
Right. But every time you have to take that step. So today, write it down. Make it plain. And I would encourage you to email us that you want us to get in agreement with you, because we would love to stand in agreement with you. Email us what you're believing God for.
We've been through this. Everybody that's successful has gone through that. Nobody just was born with a silver spoon thing. It doesn't happen. I tell people all the time, just in the short 30 seconds, what'd you do? Well, I started But I didn't start with speaking. I took F's on oral book reports, and I hated school. And said, well, what happened to you? So, well, God called me, and all of a sudden I realized I started doing stuff a little at a time, stepped out. Somebody asked me to speak, and I remember the first time I spoke, I quoted 31 scriptures in a row, and I said, amen. That was it. It was a real short sermon. And people said, how'd you get a national ministry? Well, I started at my local church teaching parenting. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes 12 people would show up, sometimes 3, sometimes 30, depending on the subject. Well, what happened? Well, somebody said, hey, can you come to our church and do that? Can you come? So we load everybody up, and we'd drive to Kansas City or down to Dallas and do a seminar. Next thing you know, after about 8 years, people got to know us about doing that. So we didn't just jump in the middle of anything. We were doing it a little at a time for years. And that's how you got a national minister. Well, we got known for doing this. Nobody else was doing it. We kind of had it all to ourselves. Nobody was teaching on parenting years ago.
Yeah. And as you take the steps, you know, sometimes when the vision is blurry from a distance, but as you take steps towards
that
it.
That is so good, Angel.
It gets clearer and clearer and clearer.
If we used to drive back from Oklahoma to Tennessee, and we'd see the mountains at a distance. Mm-hmm. And so at a distance, they're purple. Like, what is it? It's the mountains. You can see them. It's like, got that purple haze. It's in the mountains. You get closer, all of a sudden, well, now they're starting to turn green. And you got closer, and you had the dark greens and light greens. You had the, you know, the pines, whatever. Then you had the maples and the oaks down low, and then you got up higher, those dark greens, and then pretty soon there's no trees. The closer you got, the more detail there was. You got to start. Well, you can't see all the detail. It's a vision. What do you do? Well, one day we're going to do this. How are you going to do that? Don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Do you have a degree? No, I don't. You got the money? No, but I have a vision. Yeah. That's where it starts. It starts with a vision, and then you need to write that vision down. Habakkuk said, why? Get it in your heart. Start talking about it. Start praying it. I mean, there's so many great stories and books that have been written. Yes.
You know, I know that there's a lot of people that if you're listening today, that there's things in your heart that you've kind of put on the back burner, maybe, or you just thought, that was just me. But they're still there. Those seeds are still there. God placed those in your heart for a reason.
And God can redeem the time. I don't care.
It's never
too late. It is never too late.
Yeah. So I just want to encourage you to sit down, take a chance. Trust God. Write down the vision. Send it to us so we can watch as it comes to pass. And then 3 months from now, I expect to get a testimony. Hey, look, this part's come to pass. Look, I'm moving. I'm opening. The doors are opening this way. It will happen if you put your hand to the plow.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you so much for joining with us. We're in agreement with you. This is going to be an incredible year for not just you, for us here at the ministry. We're believing God for great things. So we're so thankful that you're in our lives. And that you're in agreement with us, and we're in agreement with you too for great things. This is our year. This is the big one.
God promised to take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. Every year ought to be better than the one before. We're not going backwards, we're going forward. God's mercy is brand new every morning. It's going to be a great year, guys.
Yes, it is. And I want to thank you, everybody, for all the questions that you've sent in and how you've been so faithful to us. Please make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed as well. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here.
Have a great new year. We love you.
We do. Thank you.